This is Dr. Char.
This is Professor Feather.
This is the Midnight Gadfly.
This is Dr. Head, and you are experiencing...
You bad boys.
Hello, fellow inmates. Today, we are going to talk about a 2025 film called Sinners. It's a horror action film directed by Ryan Coogler. And it's set in the early 30s, 1932, in the Mississippi Delta, and stars Michael B. Jordan in dual roles as twin brothers who return to their hometown, and then they want to open up a juke joint and for the local.
Who'd they work for?
They did work for Al Capone. They are no longer working for Al Capone. At least that's the word around the campfire. And then you come to find out that they got this large truck full of bootleg alcohol. We got Irish beer, Italian wine, and all kinds of goodies, and a big wad of cash. And everyone's suspicious because how'd you get that money from these two rival gangs? So that's the setting. We have another cousin who comes in named Sammy, who's a singer, who's a guitar player, and his father is a pastor. And that's kind of how we open it up the movie, where we see Sammy coming into the church holding this broken like a guitar neck in his hands, and he stumbles in this Sunday meeting and being told by his father to lay down the devil's music. And I guess I should preface it before that even starts, we have the story of the myth. We have this myth that some people play music so wonderfully, so beautiful. It kind of tears or makes the veil between life and death. It kind of breaks that. But it also invites evil to that.
From the past and the future, right.
We have this kind of this, and this Choctaw legend, too. We have this mix of cultures, which is one thing we'll talk about. But the film, it's about these two twins who want to set up this juke joint and what happens when they do.
And who comes home to do it. Where they're from.
That's correct. They want to come home to the and bring home this juke joint and have something for the people who work on the local, in the cotton fields and the plantations there. And so we have a lot of issues dealing with race and Jim Crow laws and things that are
1932,
right, Mississippi. So
height of the Depression.
That's right. So I will when they open up the juke joint, then the music's flying. It's a wonderful scene. That's actually one of my favorite scenes. We'll talk a little bit about it. But that's when the horror element comes in the form of three musicians who just show up at the door.
This is very late.
White musicians.
Yeah, it's over halfway.
This is very late in the film. That needs to be said.
It's the second half.
I'll bring that up.
Okay. Well, then I will turn it over since we have the setup. So, Professor Fred, let's talk about that. The horror shows up late in this movie. It's built as a horror film, but there's so much going on before.
Yeah, it's all intimated and talked about early on, foreshadowing. But then they kind of ignore it to a degree for almost half of the movie, probably half of the movie. Mm-hmm. Wherein lies my comment. I absolutely loved that first half of the movie. I was just in love with it. And then they introduced vampires, and I fell out of love about as fast as I could fall out of my bed when I'm having a nightmare. Totally ruined the movie for me. I'm sorry. Totally ruined the movie for me. It was not going... I mean, it could go on somewhere, I guess, but that's the direction. That was so motherfucking cliche that I cringed, Oh, we've got a little twist on the vampire story now, so let's do a little twist on the vampire story. And let's make it music, which totally did not, that didn't jibe with me, because I'm going, the music they played was joyful. The music they played was fun. It was a release for people. It wasn't a release for fucking evil. That would be the death of evil. I did not understand that. So somebody maybe here can explain that to me, how that all works. I just lost it in the second half of the film. I'm sorry. I mean, it had moments that were, you know, I was not invested in the movie anymore.
Sure.
It just wasn't, you know.
I was curious when they first mentioned, before they said the vampire word, they had mentioned the word haint. And I was curious. I'm like, wow, that's something I've not heard of before. And
haint hunters. Like,
oh, really?
And I was thinking,
we should have.
That's cool, because I love that we're bringing in the sense of folklore, not only with the black community, but we have the Choctaw. We have these elements. And then the idea of music being so powerful, such a powerful force. It draws, because it draws the attention of those beings, and I think that's
it wasn't just evil, though. What you're just the spirits, what they were saying from past and future, and it was all
spirits.
I did like that scene where they went to the bar, and they're showing, you know, you would just
the dancing when the just music doing, was going,
yeah, yeah, and then you saw people from different time periods show up, right. And but they just, you know, they were just there, you know, so you had to be special to see them anyway.
Okay.
I get it with the vampire. I did understand that.
Yeah.
I still liked it up to that point. I still
sure.
All of that was as nice and surreal as I fucking like. And you know, this blend reality, and I love that.
And you
know,
I loved the twins. You know, yes. Smoke and Stack were engaging, and like you and I mean, it was had a very quick
feel
at times when he comes out and shoots him. Right, and it's like for looking at his truck and
then he shoots the other guy too. Just because
he's like, I don't want anyone, symmetry. Around saying that anyone.
Yeah, God damn it! Why'd you do that?
From trying to rob the Smokestack Brothers. Like, no, you're gonna shoot, get a shot.
Yeah.
But it gives them money to
have their legs fixed. So too, you know,
yes,
it gives them money.
Right.
To,
it's right. It's, yeah. They are. Michael B. Jordan is just so engaging as both characters, and just pulls you into this performance. The performances are magnificent. The writing is really sharp and good, and
up to a point. Yes, I agree.
I wished it was something different than vampires. Honestly, yeah. I was excited about the haint and like what could it be. I'm like, okay, it's a vampiric like a Bill, you know, like
from
a, like
dusk
a Wendigo
till dawn
or something.
It's from dusk till dawn, you know.
See, that's how I took it, because it was a dusk till dawn, but it was I enjoyed a little bit. Huh?
Did you go ahead, Tar?
No, I just Tar. I didn't mind it. It because I almost turned it off just because of the music. Just they were going into a musical number, and it was just this is what I thought that's the direction I was going to go with, more musical shit. But I did like the transition when, you know, I was talking about the bar, but then they kind of, you know, they're listening to some music, but then it kind of drifts out. It's one style of music, then it kind of drifts out to when the vampires are singing, and because of the whatever they're, which was kind of weird, the unified mind,
their cadence and rhythm. The song was really weird. It was like a juxtaposition and
some
movement, and
ancient Celtic song or whatever the fuck it is. Yeah,
it sounded like a Burbank.
Some of it, I love. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. But the message of like love and community. Yeah. That had a hive mind.
But that's.
Yeah.
That's devil shit. You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
Yeah. How about you, Midnight Gadfly?
Yeah, I liked it. I mean, the first half was. I think maybe the movie was a little too long for me. I think it could have been edited down. It's like 2.5 hours or something like that. I liked how they established all these different characters fairly quickly in the beginning, and then just kind of how the stories were like revealed, especially with the baby who died, and the fact that that lady is kind of a snake oil salesman, but she's also got knowledge from her past and stuff like that. I didn't mind the vampires only because it was not Dusk Till Dawn, because Dusk Till Dawn they went into the den of the vampires, where this was the vampires trying to get in, and they couldn't get in until they were invited. And then
I did like that too.
Just how rapidly those vampires started just fucking taking over. I mean, it just, and it was like a disease that was just spreading so rapidly. And you're just like, how are they going to do? All they have to do is wait till sunup, right? And then the other thing that I thought was great about the vampires, he wanted Sammy because he wanted that music. That main vampire, because he gets all the memories and all the abilities.
And being the son of a preacher.
Yeah. And you he wants that music from that particular guy. And that was the signal that came out, you know, to that vampire where he was seeing all of this kind of thing, you know. And just the whole, like, hallucination of it burning down, you know what I mean, towards the end of that whole, like, montage and stuff like that they were doing. And then they cut right back to it. They kept really grounded until those vampires came in. And then I love the fact that the vampire comes up to the Asian woman and starts talking to her. And she knows that's her husband speaking to her, you know, even though he's standing over there.
Well, it looks like her husband,
Well, no, it is her husband standing over there. But when the Irish
before
vampire...
Before he got turned.
Yeah.
Well,
no, that main vampire or somebody took over, turned the Asian guy into a vampire. So they all shared everybody's memories. So when the main vampire was talking to her, he was already a vampire. And so he was talking to her as if he were him. And that's what freaked her out.
Rebek. Yeah, Rebek.
The scene where he saw, get in the car, babe. Come on, let's go. As this other person's being torn apart and all this blood's gushing all over the place. Come on, man. What are you waiting for?
After he went out to get the car. Yeah. It was obvious when he comes back. The hive mind, like you're saying, I mean, you know, that was interesting, but not enough to make it that interesting for me. I like a lot of the ideas, and I agree with you, Gadfly, that it was too long. Another thing that I was going to bring up, I think there was too much music in the movie that it was extra diegetic. I think it would have been way more powerful to have had less music to give it more importance. They inundate you with the, you know, cinematic music in the background mixed with the stuff, you know, nice cinematic, mixing and everything, but it's still
history,
too much. I think, but you know, I have that opinion about most movies, so is no different.
Those were all they were doing musical numbers too, you know what I mean? It was almost like a musical in parts.
Those I didn't mind.
I'm not a big fan of
To me, this is the whole point of the jukebox. And to hear that woman saying, and what happens because of that, to me, it was a visualization of the power of this music. They were saying, music can do all this, and now we get to see how it happens, what happens, what's it like being in the middle of all that. You know,
and both sides using it, too.
Yeah, exactly. Both sides using it for their own purposes. So the power of music was still there. I just thought it was the lighting. I mean, the look of the film, it's a gorgeous looking film, the way it's shot, you know, 65 millimeter. It's really wide. It's beautiful. And then there are some really, really nice, like, color and lighting that go on inside the jukebox itself, you know, the juke joint. I like that.
The juke joint.
Juke joint, rather. Right.
Yeah, not juke joint.
Not the jukebox. Not
the jukebox. Kept saying jukebox. The jukebox.
Right, juke joint. Right,
juke
right.
There's a juke.
Yeah. But I love the setup, too. I mean, I'm so fully engaged in the characters and, like, what they are doing and this world that they have developed that I want to then to succeed as well. I'm alone could have been a great movie without the vampire stuff.
I would like
to have seen that, because the other themes are still there. The racism is still there. The clan is still there. You know, all those things that we get to see a good end. And I'm like, when I watched that, I'm like, oh, that's Tarantino end, right?
I think that was pushing it when they did all of the clan, that whole segment. That should have been the end of the fucking movie, you know. Mm-hmm. There should have been some cool, maybe weird supernatural stuff going on, but that should have been the end of the movie, not some big vampire orgy, you know, fiasco, you know, extravaganza. I think all that should have been contained. That's why I didn't like vampires. I think it should have been contained within the juke joint. You know, that was the place where everything changed. That's where reality altered. Yes. And that's what they were saying. The reality altered there.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, you know, that if you, and then all of a sudden you get through the whole vampire thing, then you come back. Oh, now we're going to be very politically, you know, relevant, and we're going to show, yeah, the black man is going to succeed and kill all the bad guys. And I went, it's almost antithetical to the whole thing now, you know, almost.
But now he's infected, but he's also infected as a vampire now, though, too. So, yeah. Evil. Evil. No. But I thought it was also based on the story. I thought it was based, isn't there a, God, I couldn't even tell you, but I've heard it. Where the blues musician meets the devil at the crossroads.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So well, there's a movie called Crossroads.
I thought that was what this is kind of like.
Was it Jack Johnson, right?
Started.
Is that the guy who supposedly couldn't tell you.
I don't know.
But they have their own take on that. And I thought that was a really
right,
cool.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
Just a minute. With a single point at the end, just before he kills all of those Klansmen, they have a conversation about that guitar. And he goes, oh, I thought you guys won it in a poker from this guitarist. And you're like, no, that fool's lying to you. He goes, that was my daddy's guitar. And you know that their daddy was just fucking evil. So evil that the one was Smoker Stack killed him and buried him, you know,
right,
because he used to abuse
right.
his other one. So that guitar was some sort of like evil instrument, you know, that was, you know, tying into that whole supernatural stuff that they had going on. So I just
I did not catch that, because by that time I wasn't interested. Too bad, because I would have gone, oh!
And I did like it.
See, that's a
really
revelation
like
to me. Fuck!
No, that's right, because he does say earlier his daddy was so evil that woke up and he was already half buried, right?
By that time I was kind of not paying.
That's a good point.
I wasn't. That's a real good point. That changes the outlook for me. To a degree. I still don't like vampires, but to a degree, makes more sense, you know? I just don't... I think vampires are so goddamn cliche, you know? There's so many good legends. And you're talking about the American Indian legends, you know? Native American legends. There are some great, great legends they could have brought in that people don't know and going... Yeah. Holy shit, you know, this is so cool. But it would all be contained in that area, you know, maybe like
right.
it was kind of contained in that area.
Yeah, like that whole land area.
Just not,
was.
But just, and vampires, that just irritated me.
It was too easy.
End. It was too, yes, very much too easy.
Yeah. But I would have liked to have seen, you know, other things as well. It doesn't bother me nearly as much as you, other than being like, oh, okay, we're vampires. I'm like, yeah. And
I can get I can absorb that a lot better with Gadfly. The guitar, you know, the haunted the guitar becomes the, you know, haunted instrument, or you know, the conduit, and I think that's good. And that guy.
Yeah.
The guy, what's his real name? I had it and I forgot it.
Which one?
Sammy? The kid, Sammy.
Miles Caton is the actor.
He's good, man.
Yeah, Miles
Caton. As an actor.
I guess his first movie, right?
He's good.
He played that guitar and had took lessons and played 5 hours a day for like months.
I noticed he was actually playing. Yeah. And if that was his real voice, I don't know if that was his real voice or not, but whoever's voice that was a good voice, because of very unique. But it sounded like him, because he has that deep voice, you know.
Yeah.
I really liked that. I liked all of that really well. I mean, and I appreciated that. Yeah, I'm going, oh, he's actually playing that, you know. Real hard slide, but it was sounded good and everything was, you know, he was doing it right.
It sounded authentic.
Yeah.
I do like how the movie ends in that sense. We have a jump in time 30 years later.
Oh, yeah.
You know, or no, 60 years later, rather.
60 years.
Yeah, that's
Buddy
it's like
Guy.
92.
And I like and when he rolled off with him.
Right.
Yeah.
Buddy Guy as Sammy. I'm like, oh, that's just fucking perfect. You know?
Yeah.
The
I did
living
like that.
Blues legend right here. And I like it that here they come. You know, the two come in and just, we find
like
out how they could live.
And they talk.
Yeah, made us a deal. Like, you know, he made a deal. He let us live if we leave you, you know, left you alone.
And the very last scene when he rides off with him. I love that. That was good. It's like, yeah. I decided. Yeah.
Because there's a bittersweet, more bitter than sweet here at the commentary is like, you know, for one until the end, he said, until sunset, that was the best day of my life. Yeah. And that's when we felt free, even for a little time. So there's a sense of heaviness to this film that even at the end, even though it's a quote unquote good ending, it's still heavy. It leaves you with a heaviness. And I think it had to with these themes because sadly, they're fucking relevant again.
Well, you know? Yeah. Being evil, all this evil, then all of a sudden the one good guy is just like, okay, I'm going to go with you. And it's just like, mm-hmm. Let's do it.
Well, now you kind of knew because they kept saying right from the beginning, his dad kept telling Sammy, put the guitar down, you know, and then when he mm-hmm. comes back and he's got part of a guitar and it's gripped in his hand and he's like, drop the guitar. You got to put the guitar down. And then they cut to, you know, him in 1993 and he's still playing a guitar, you know, which means he was not relinquishing any kind of anything, you know, for that music.
He just left.
Yep.
Yeah. Left the Delta because you see him driving with that broken neck in his guitar in his car. And right, you see him. And then I love how he still had that old guitar, like he had a new copy of it. He's like, because they talk about, man, I really, you know, the electric music just isn't the same as the old time stuff, the good stuff. Yeah. And so he opens up his case and pulls out that beautiful acoustic, you know, and he starts playing it, the same song.
Maybe it regenerated, being
the same song. Yeah. Yeah.
Or maybe, you know, I never thought about that. Maybe it did regenerate. I don't know. That would be funny, huh? I don't. Maybe it is the same guitar. Just kind of.
Well, it's fantastic. This movie is. It could.
Why not?
If the guitar itself is evil, why not? I mean, if that was the
instrument, or at least the conduit, and it's looked at as evil, like, or it influences, it draws evil, so therefore it's considered. But if it draws all kinds of things, yeah, you never know. But I like that. I like that. I don't know all that stuff. I think it's really kind of cool.
Sure.
And I like that we have this sense of. The music is the joining factor. And I've never seen the idea of the vampires and they're playing their own, like, kind of brogue and doing that whole thing.
Yeah, I didn't like that.
And why Irish?
That's why I just didn't like any of that.
I thought that was
that
cool.
Concept.
I thought that was really? Cool. I did like it. Here's why.
I did like it. Oh, go ahead, Gavin.
The reason why is you were like, was this vampire originally Irish, or did he bite an Irishman?
That's how I took it. Being the hive mind,
you have no idea because of the hive mind what his origins are. He is a complete mystery. There's nothing.
I thought it would have been cooler. Well, he did. One of them actually started speaking Asian to the woman. Remember? So this hive mind could have gone back. You know, whenever.
No, he got it from her husband. He got it from her husband.
Oh, okay.
She says,
all right.
That's why
he's never been her husband.
But
right.
Still, the idea of this.
The whole impetus for her losing her mind. Yeah. The whole impetus for her losing her mind and biting the guy's hand and saying, come on the fuck in, because she just had it. Because that dude just talked to her with things that her husband had said and then was threatening their daughter and doing all this kind of stuff.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Really great manipulations, I thought, was just, you know, amazing how
I did retain one line out of that whole thing. You like to be licked.
Well, they talk about that, right?
Yes.
I know that's a recurring theme through this movie,
right? Right.
Which I find kind of sideline interesting in some of the I thought that.
And
was
how to lick it? Like,
yeah,
there you
exactly.
Go.
Let me translate for Professor Fett. Joe Moore.
So I just thought that
I'll
was
never
bad.
Eat an ice cream cone the same way, you know.
Seafood buffet, anyone?
Yeah,
right.
Great.
Yeah. So, you know, Kugler, the writer, the director, talked about the parallels between the.
So
film,
he did write and direct it.
Yes,
I want to make sure I get it right.
Yeah, he did. I saw the credits at the end.
Yeah.
Darn, Connie.
He did.
Connie Wingus.
He drew parallels between the African Americans, the Irish, and the Choctaw, noting the historical intermingling of these cultures and its influence on their traditions.
Yeah.
Which is why the Delta Blues, Charlie Patton, who Kugler says was likely Park Choctaw, was mentioned as the original owner, you know, of the guitar. So that he was bringing in that as well, which I didn't know that name. But then Cougar talked about the, especially about the Irish part. Remick identifies the character. Remick identifies with the black character because the connections between what they experienced, being both Africans forced to be removed from the continent of Africa, and the experience of the Irish people being forced to work land that was immeasurable, with immeasurable abundance and wealth, but being denied that. So he was talking about the connections between the two cultures, and
well, yeah, and also that was interesting. Also the when the Irish immigrated to the United States, they were second class citizens. Right. They were treated abysmably, you know.
Oh, fuck yes.
Right, so next to the Chinese.
There's that connection too. I got that connection, I think, you know, between I understood all that. That's why I said there's a lot of really, that's what really bothers me, that and why I don't think the movie failed, but I just think it was maybe too ambitious or something, and maybe
to sell like vampires
pulled down, and I just hate vampires so much.
Yeah, right. Well, had it been a different creature, maybe something out of Choctaw or something, a legend, or
it would have been cooler if it was something.
Might have liked
else,
it better. So, I mean, in that part.
Yeah,
I don't mind it. Because I like so much of the movie going into it. By the end, I'm already invested.
Yeah.
And while there's a little deflation, like, oh, okay, it's vampires, I do like the differences in how the vampires interact. I like that they're bringing in this kind of very traditional, like, we can't come in unless we're invited thing.
I really did like that aspect.
Which is like a really
weird, because it sets up a lot of the stuff.
Like, quirky thing about a vampire, you know? And they do it occasionally, like you see it in some vampire, especially like in what was it, the one in the 1980s with what's his face,
Hunger.
Yeah, no,
oh,
no,
oh, Fright Night, Fright Night,
Fright Night. Yeah, which was very traditional
vampire.
You have
to believe,
exactly. So I kind of like that they had that element to it, and I really love that they were musicians and doing the hand movements and the gesturing and talking about love. And I didn't believe that whole love thing. Like, oh God, no.
Speaking of those quirks of the vampires, what is that, in the shadows?
Like, now that you have the hive mind and you can live in harmony with one another because you're all together, you know, there's that kind of, you know, join hands around
unity,
the world kind of thing. I kind of like that part because I've never seen, I mean, I've seen, like, we had the Lost Boys, which is a different kind of vampire clan, Near Dark, which is a very different kind of vampire clan, large groups of vampires. I like that part of it.
30 Days of Night, that's another one.
Oh, yeah.
That's a pretty good one.
I love that movie, yeah. Vampires are like,
and I like the idea that they're coming over the polar cap or whatever to get to, you know, they can travel in the ship, you know, that idea that they're invading through Alaska, you know, these are Slavic or whatever they
are. What are we talking
vampires.
About?
30 days of night.
Oh, never saw it.
Yeah. It's based on
vampires.
Yeah. It's based on a comic book that was, it was really popular, but it was a really good idea. It was basically these vampires would travel only to, like, these long night countries, and they would move around as the earth tilted so that they could just feed constantly.
Over the circle, they go to Barrow, Alaska, which is getting ready to have a month of complete dark. Yeah. And so they show up.
The town.
Yeah,
I think,
and they're the animalistic vampires.
They're very, they're not like, it's not like Christopher Lee or Bela Lugosi. These are like animals, like wild, terrifying, horrific looking animalistic vampires who dress rather nicely.
I have to check.
It's actually kind of scary.
People beg for their lives, and what's his face? Danny Houston is like the main bad vampire, and he looks at it and he's like, "You beg? You are nothing but food." Fucking attacks. Story between human story between the vampires and the people, none whatsoever.
Yeah,
it's just
that might be kind of interesting.
And the guy who shows up, who plays like the Renfield, I guess the basically John the Baptist kind of character. That's a common, you know, he's
I don't remember. I'll have to go back and look.
Yeah, he's
at
in the
it.
Jail. Yeah, the way he says it, he's in a couple other things, but he's got.
Oh, he's a harbinger. He's the guy that kind of gives you the idea.
They're gonna give me, you know. Yeah, that's a common.
So
for,
to go back to Sinners, I think the reason. I didn't mind the shootout with the Klansmen, you know what I mean? Only because they set it up at the beginning And, you know, you go, oh, the Klan doesn't exist, you know, and you're like, oh, mm-hmm. they're fucking coming back. And they knew it the whole time. They're like, they're going to yeah. be coming back. You know, we know they're coming back. And that's
they talked about it.
Yeah. It was satisfying.
You know, they're, you know, and that whole thing. That's why I said it creates a real dichotomy for me. This movie does, because I do like the movie, but elements, you know, that just. That's why, you know, I'm just reiterating what I said before. I think that would have been a good ending and had all the magical stuff happen, you know, in that little universe around the juke joint.
Oh, they keep it isolated or
they keep
located.
It totally isolated, and because it's all produced and manufactured by the music. And I'll take the vampires, too. And now, you know, I don't knock the fact that, you know, what he's doing. Vampires, you know, these are smart, you know, predatory creatures that have a hive mind, you know, which is really implied through even like Universal Dracula and all that, you know, that there is a hive mind. And then using the music becomes duplicitous. Listen to this music and come with us, gentlemen. Like you said, what, evil hippies, or what'd you say? The violent hippies.
Yeah, violent hippies. Yeah,
the violent hippies. Because that's
new band name. I call it.
It's like, you know, it's like the song of the sirens. You know,
right. You know? It's seducing,
and I understand that. Yes. I really understand all that. But it's fucking vampires.
Yeah. Well, my band name is the Murder Hippies.
The Murder Hippies.
There you go.
Yes.
There you go. So Remick is a German last name. It's derived from a German. So that's why I was confused about him being Irish and wondering if he ate an Irishman or an Irish lady.
Oh, maybe.
He could have.
And he's been. Like, I like this music, river dancing, better.
All right, guess who I ate? I wanted
bad choice,
days.
Bad choice.
There are a lot of scenes. I can see the inspiration.
I enjoyed the
from
movie.
These other filmmakers, because he credits other filmmakers as inspiration, and like Robert Rodriguez. You know, from he cites him.
That's what I said. It has kind
Tarantino.
Of that feel. You know,
yeah, there is that. I mean,
more,
it's a,
more
the, a,
yeah,
that.
More
and
that.
He did really well at those things, though, too, when he showed them. I mean.
Yeah,
when
but
he utilized those elements, he did them well.
I don't
mind
that at all. I thought it was fine that he borrows these elements because everyone borrows from one another. Because
the story writing
was so good. The characters are so good up to this point. The world that they had developed, I was invested in these characters and this world and these two brothers. And just, I was immersed in what was going on, you know. And but it is a good movie. But there are still moments that are. They're hard.
I didn't mind
to
the vampires.
No, I don't mind at all. It doesn't bother me. I'm not a vampite like Professor Fetlis.
So how about somebody
anti-vampire?
Explain to me, and because you know, I did question and wonder why did all the vampires wait till dawn and not leave?
Yeah, they still overstayed their
welcome.
Why
did they still
right? Why? If they're so smart, they have this hive mind. They're very survival conscious. Go ahead.
He got stake through his heart, and that freaked them out. They lost their fucking minds when he was dying because he had the stake through his heart.
Because they all felt it.
But then, you know, as they're freaking out, the sun comes up. You know, and he starts. You know, it hits him.
Well, and that's why I said that. I think they. It seems like.
Oh, why you're asking? Why
like
didn't
they took
leave?
It too close to this? To the. To
maybe
the,
they were close they were that it. Close to getting it.
I think.
Yeah,
I think that's what it was. They realized.
Well, I can understand
that.
Close I guess.
To getting
I guess.
It
overestimated
guy,
themselves.
I'm not. Yeah.
No. It's simpler.
But I can.
It's simpler than that. None of them had watches. If you look.
Oh, my sundial watches that not work.
Sundial doesn't work at night.
That's right.
No,
I never know what time it is. I wake up.
No, I just was curious about that.
Who the hell knows?
You know, that seems there again. That you know, yeah, and I you know, right.
It's kind of like the easy end.
I can rationalize it all. I can rationalize. Yeah.
Why didn't he? Why didn't the main guy dive into the water? You know, while he was on fire. You know.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, there's just, I mean, and, you know, just certain things that, but even that, see, by that time, I was not analyzing the movie by any means, and I should have been.
Sure.
I apologize for that, because I quit being invested in the movie, and Gadfly just gave me the reason I should not have been. So, because that makes way more sense.
Well, I like the haunted guitar. The only reason I kept with it is because I like a lot of Ryan Coogler's work, you know, Creed and Fruitvale Station and stuff, and they're all like very tightly structured, and there's a lot of good stuff that goes on in those, and they're not even necessarily film types that I like or subjects, but he's such a good storyteller that I thought that was really cool. Here's the other thing. I didn't know this was a vampire movie. I avoided everything about this movie. I had no clue. When the vampires come, I'm like,
I did too.
I kind of knew.
And that's why I probably was more disappointed, because if I knew it was a vampire movie, then I would have gone into it expecting that. But I just thought it was such a good movie that that the vampires ruined it for me.
That's really funny. And they didn't really.
There again, I say ruined it only because I think it could have been like I could have really railed. And praise this movie. I will praise the first half. Praise the first half as much as any movie I've ever seen. I'll put it that way.
My son said exactly the same thing, and it's like he goes, you know, I asked him, did you see Sinners yet? And he goes, yeah. He goes, I like the first half. He goes, yeah. And for him, it was just kind of weird because when they showed the vampires, he did not. He goes, I lost it. Didn't like it.
Yeah, you start to distort when you get close to that mic, man.
Right now, I know.
I was with you there, Gadfly. I don't like knowing anything about movies going into it.
So I usually don't.
I knew it was horror, but I didn't know what.
I didn't even know it was horror. I thought it was just like a, you know, a regular, you know, whatever, a thriller. Yeah.
I knew it was a vampire movie.
An action movie. Yeah. Action story drama, you know? I don't know.
But they didn't try to hide the vampire. As soon as you saw that guy walking through the sun bubbling, you know, his bubbling skin, you're like, oh, that's a fucking vampire, you know? And they let him
asking to come in. Yeah.
And then when she's calling out to her husband and the Indians are there, you know, whooping and going off and stuff like that. Now, did we hear the Indians, Native Americans, did we hear them later at night? Because they kept saying, "What is that other sound?" You know, I thought we were hearing.
Oh, it could have been.
Yeah, I don't know.
But I liked when he came in, and he was so eloquent when he talked to him. He goes, "Yes, ma'am. Did you see? Did you happen
he's
to
not
see?"
He's not who he appears to be, and at that time, you don't know who to believe, right? You just don't know. You know what's going on, and thinking he could have looked like that just because he was had been out in the sun for days or whatever, you know. But
attacking a vampire with a jar of pickled garlic is crazy.
The scene
where they have to all eat garlic because they think one of them might be a vampire. And I love Delroy Lindo, man. Whatever he's in, you know, and he's sitting there choking. He goes, "No, it's that Irish beer. I just drank too much of it."
Right? Yeah, I think because Coogler cites The Thing as one of his favorite movies or as an inspiration. I think that scene was taken directly.
Oh, that was from
The Thing.
Yeah.
You know, because everyone does the blood test, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I think it was very, very similar.
Like,
yeah. Yeah.
Well, I
thought, okay, that's good.
The one woman didn't
want to
take it.
Would you mind fucking untying me?
Well, the one woman didn't want to take it because she's like, I can't, you know, and then she eats it and she's just like, she goes, couldn't I have at least gotten one of the pickled ones?
Yeah.
The Pearline, right, because by that time you're thinking, okay, who got bit? Because that's the first thing you become instantly, the paranoia becomes, okay, we got to root out the evil from within, you know? That's immediately how it's going to go. And maybe because we've been conditioned, because we've seen the thing. And that's that claustrophobic tension of who, you know, don't trust Clark. You know, that's still here. But
going back to the quirky vampire shit, there was a scene in, What We Do in the Shadows. And they were like the group was trying to disprove like all these vampire myths. And one of them was like, if you throw, what is it? A bunch of, is it rice or pennies or stone, whatever, onto the ground, that the vampire will stop what they're doing and have to count it.
Yeah,
that's a rice. Chinese. And
it was rice. Yeah,
it was rice. But there's also a European one where you do that. But anyway, okay. Long story short, so they're all standing around. And they put it down there, and they're like, "Oh no, that's nothing, nothing. Yeah, go on, dude. What? Yeah, you know what it comes down to." But yeah, it was funny.
If you haven't seen that TV series, it's great.
Yes.
What we do in the shadows, the TV series is amazing. Yeah.
Yeah, it's hilarious.
All right.
All right.
We're at 40
Vampires.
Minutes.
Sorry.
Oh, yeah. So, it's a really good movie, whether you like vampires or not. I think you'll still find a lot to enjoy.
I recommend if you don't like vampires and you don't even like horror, the first half of this movie is brilliant. When it comes in and the horror comes in, if you don't like that, I think you could leave the movie and go, boy, you know, it'd be nice if that movie would have, you know, kept going this way.
That's a good first half.
Yeah, one last thing I would like to say is that I really appreciated that Michael B. Jordan didn't try to differentiate the two twins terribly. You know what I mean? Like, he didn't exaggerate the differences between those, which I thought was great.
Because different color hats.
Yes. Sometimes I was confused, though, still. I was like, I don't know, you know.
Yeah. Even the characters themselves. Are you smoker stack?
You know? As you are.
As you would.
You would be.
Right. Because you get the subtle differences in their demeanor and their personality.
Yeah.
You know, like Smoke is the one who shoots first with the gas later and throwing out the money. Whereas
close.
Thack is more lighthearted a little bit, you know, a little more jovial, comparatively. But his performance is phenomenal. Just he sells it, you know. And like to see them in the screen together, it's like before it would have been so easy to see. Not, you know, having, but yeah, they carefully script a lot of the scenes where they're only one at a time, one brother. You guys are going to split, we're going to go this way, you go that way, you know, and because there's still that, you have to do that, all the magic to get people on the screen together, you know, so it doesn't look like a Disney film. But it was just, their performances were phenomenal. I thought everyone did a great job.
Yeah, I would say absolutely. It's all top notch. And I like a movie where I'm not thinking about the actors at all while I'm watching the movie. You know what I mean? It's no longer. I've seen most of those actors before. And I was just so invested. And I think that was why he did so much building up front with the characters, you know, because you got invested in this kind of intricate little community that was just going to go have a party, you know.
Yeah.
I was rooting for them, even though thinking, oh my God, you ripped off the mob. That's not going to end well. You know, eventually it's going to come back to you.
The whole part where they're counting the money at the end, and he goes, here's what we made, but here's the real money, because most of this stuff is plantation credits, you know, which is worthless. So one's worried about the money, the other one's worried about having a good time to attract people. Just the subtle difference in personalities were great.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that.
Yeah.
As I said, I think the writing overall was top notch. Top notch directing and cinematography. Very, very good. Very good. Even in the parts I didn't necessarily like, it was all done so well.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I couldn't help it. I watched it. I just unfortunately lost my investment.
Yeah.
Well, I would highly recommend Fruitvale Station and...
Yeah, I've never seen... I don't know if Creed. I've ever seen anything else by him.
He also did...
What's Creed?
It's a Rocky movie. Just like in the Rocky franchise. Apollo Creed's son.
Okay. Creed. I've heard of it. No, I haven't seen it.
I hear it's good. I just had no interest in seeing it.
Well, see, I'm not into it either. You know what I mean? That's why I was talking about the subject matter. Because I saw Fruitvale Station and Finn had seen that, my son, and he goes, you gotta see this Fruitvale Station. It's great. And I watched it and I'm like, well, that really was good, you know, and it really kind of put, I always liked Michael B. Jordan, but that really kind of put him into a spot, you know what I mean? Because he can be kind of over the top, like when he was in the Black Panther, you know, and he plays the half brother of, T'Challa or whatever.
Scar, the character's name is.
Can't remember something what like it is. He was just really over the top with that one, you know. But that was still a good movie. I liked that. I liked Black Panther.
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't see the second Black Panther movie, Wakanda Forever. I didn't see that.
It was not for our age group, I don't think. You know, it was very younger, and it was kind of women-centered. You know what I mean? So it was a lot of the women characters and stuff. Like, it was good.
Yeah.
It just felt like it was targeted for a certain demographic. So
sure. I hope they can find someone to play the Black Panther. I'd hate for that character not to be around. Or I like the sister. I like the sister character. She's phenomenal, but I don't want to see her as Black Panther. You know, so I'm hoping that they'll get someone who can play that role.
Yeah, she was
ongoing.
She was good, but they made her really angry in that second one. Like, oh, totally out of
that's
character.
That's not her character at all. Yeah. No,
she was totally pissed off about the whole thing. And then, and they introduce Submariner. And they
make, I saw pictures of that. I'm like,
he's Mayan. Hell, yeah, they make him Mayan. So.
Okay. All right. Well, that works.
Sinners. Sinners.
Good. Oh, Sinners. Go check it out. It's got vampires.
It's on Prime.
Check it out.
For now. It's on Prime.
For now.
For now, yeah.
Yeah.
Don't blink.
Movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, you guys want to watch me take a dump? Say!
Doing the whole ploy.
And you have been experiencing
Unsaneradio at gmail.com. Unsane Radio is on Facebook. UnsaneRadio.com to go see all the cool pictures and see, and listen to and download virtually every episode we've ever put out.
Which virtually.
Which is in a lot of them right now. There you go. TarnFeather.com. TarnFeather Psycho Cinema on YouTube. TarnFeather.
And Facebook.
Is on Facebook.
Psycho Cinema on Facebook, yeah.
And Heavy Metal Horror is on the Facebooks. And that's right. We are coming back. That's right. We are coming back. And we begin our new season, begins recording actually tomorrow. We got two great shows coming. And our first episode comes out on the 27th. And we've got a phenomenal season coming up.
Heavy Metal Horror.
And We Freaks, WEEFREEKZ, family friendly webcomic on the Facebooks, written and drawn with love by our own dear Blue Fez, John Boyce.
And you can find the Midnight Gadfly at his new food truck. He's making sandwich wraps. It's called Gangsta Wraps.
Mm-hmm.
Do not order the P. Diddy. We have discontinued it.
If you could have chicken planks, you can call it
no,
planks.
No, that's not for you.
Plank what?
Chicken planks. You call it Plankster Wraps. There you
Plankster
go.
Plankster Wrap.
That's right. DJ Jazzy Trevor.